Right now, as we do each and every week in this very time slot, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it is brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Patrick, topic number one. Michelle Wee, named to the U.S. Solheim Cup team by Captain Beth Daniel immediately after her tie for 11th finish last week at the Women's British Open. She was one of two captain's picks along with Julie Yingster. So the 12-woman team looks like this. Nicole Castrally, Paula Kramer, Natalie Gulbis, Christy Kerr, Christina Kim, Brittany Lang, Brittany Lincecome. Couple Brittany's on the team. How about that? Christy McPherson, Morgan Pressel, and Angela Stanford. Pat, your thoughts on the 12-woman team and the selection of LPGA Tour rookie Michelle Wee as one of the two captain's picks by Beth Daniel.
Well, I think they could have Britney Spears on this team, or else it's not going to make much of a difference. I like some of the players on the U.S. team, Paula Kramer, Christy Kerr, Angela Stanford. I like Christina Kim, too. She will loosen things up a little bit. But some of these other names, Christy McPherson, Nicole Castrally, Morgan Pressel's been playing okay this year. Natalie Gulbis really hasn't been doing much.
Gulbis hasn't won in almost 3 years.
The weird thing is, Russ, I don't know how, I was all ready to slam this. Like, Michelle Wee, she hasn't done anything, she was 13th in the rankings. So she only jumped Laura Diaz and Stacey Pramondesu to get into this thing as a captain's pick. So I can't really be too harsh on it because she was 13. I'd actually be more harsh on the Julie Yingster pick because Julie was 16th in the Solheim Cup standings and jumped over Pat Hurst and Jane Park to get to be one of the picks. So I don't know. I think in a way Michelle doesn't quote unquote deserve it because she really hasn't done much. But then you look at some of the other players on this team, and I don't know if you can say like an Natalie Gulbis really deserves to be on the team, even though she's, accumulated enough points somehow to be on it, like you said, without winning in 3 years. So I just think it's a wacky system that has allowed some of these women to be on this team, and maybe they don't per se deserve it, or it's an indictment on the U.S. Team strength in general that somebody like Natalie Gulbis can go without winning for 3 years and make the team automatically on points. So I guess the team is what it is, and I'm not going to be as critical of Michelle Wee as I originally wanted to be, because you've got other players on there that probably are less deserving even than she is in terms of how they played. Julie Yingster has a stellar match play record and Solheim Cup record, so I'm not going to go against that, even though she is getting up there in age. And the course they're going to be playing, this Rich Harvest Farm, is really long and tight and, might be a disadvantage to have somebody like Yingster, whereas Michelle Wee, who hits it long, it'd be an advantage for her. Long story short, Russ, I guess it's okay, but I think they really need to tweak these rankings a little bit, or the U.S. team really stinks.
It's the latter. I agree with you, Pat. It's not so much a knock on Michelle Wee that she didn't deserve to be on the team. She deserved to be on the team among the lot of Americans because the lot of American women right now in golf is very poor. Less than half of these 12 women have won this year on the LPGA Tour. So, I have a feeling the European team's going to win this thing. I just don't think it's almost analogous to the American crop of male tennis players. Andy Roddick and Marty Fish and then who else? Well, women golfers right now, it's almost like Paula Kramer and Christy Kerr. And then who else? Granted, Brittany Lincecome has won a major, so good on her. So it's maybe Lincecome, Kramer, and Kerr, and then who else? So that's the unfortunate status right now in American women's golf. All right, topic number two, and of course this is our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, handful of hot topics in the world of golf, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Host city for the 2016 Olympiad won't be decided for a couple of weeks, but we only have four more days to wait before we know the two sports that will be included in that Olympiad. The International Olympic Committee panel will reveal on this Thursday, August 13th, if golf is one of the two sports that will recommend to the full IOC for inclusion in the 2016 Olympic Games. The final vote will be held on October 9th. However, whatever the IOC panel recommends to the complete IOC, that likely those two sports will get in. So the IOC panel is going to recommend their two sports on Thursday. Final vote comes on October 9th. Pat, gut feeling, is golf one of the two sports that gets in?
Yeah, I think so. I think golf's been an international sport for a very long time. This isn't like baseball where you just had Japan, you know, some South American countries and the U.S., and that's why maybe it had trouble getting a foothold on a worldwide stage before. But golf has been around for a long, long time. It was previously an Olympic sport at the turn of this century. The only thing I'm going to be interested, because I do think it'll be picked, is what format. Is it like a match play format? Is it some kind of a team event where you've got two or four-man teams playing against each other? Is it going to be an individual event? And are they going to let pros in? Is it going to be amateur? You know, what are they going to do to really make this exciting? And I'm interested to see, you know, what they come up with, because you brought up tennis before. Tennis has been in the Olympics now for the last three or four of them, and to me it just doesn't have the buzz, because it's like the same pros that we see week in and week out playing this thing, and you know, it just doesn't matter. So or it doesn't have a level of excitement with me. So I'll be interested to see how they tweak golf to make sure that it does have that excitement and not have just a feel of another run-of-the-mill event.
I agree with you, Pat. I think golf does get in. It's going to come down to three sports. It's going to come down to golf, baseball, and women's softball. And I think two of those three sports gets in. I do think golf is one of them, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, because if golf does get in, then, and if one of those other two sports is the other sport that gets in, you're going to be not letting in either softball or baseball and letting in the other. So, it remains to be seen. We got 4 days until we know for sure. So stay tuned for that. This Thursday, an International Olympic Committee panel revealing which two sports they will recommend to the full IOC for inclusion into the 2016 Olympic Games. All right, topic number three. This day in golf, 56 years ago, August 9th, 1953, Lew Worsham holes out from 120 yards out for eagle to win the first ever nationally televised golf tournament, the George S. Mays World Championship. So fast forward 56 years later, and today's final round of the Bridgestone Invitational will be on CBS. Jim Nance and Nick Faldo doing the play-by-play commentary from the 18th hole. And, of course, they also got a bunch of other guys out there, Ian Baker Finch and Gary McCord and David Faraday. A lot has changed in television, televising sports as well as golf in the last 50-some-odd years. Of course, we've gone from black and white to color. Pat, your thoughts on televised golf today, and are there any other changes you see moving forward?
My thoughts on televised golf is that it's absolutely made golf for us. I mean, there's sports you like to play, sports you like to be at live, and sports that are made for television. And golf, more than any other sport, is absolutely made for television because of the enormous expanse of it. If you've ever gone to a golf tournament, like you and I have gone to many, it's very difficult to sort of figure out, do we follow a group around? Do we stay at one hole? You know, there's yelling at one part of the course, what's going on, and you don't really know what's happening. I'm not trying to dissuade people from going to golf tournaments, because there is an element there, just like there is at any sporting event that you go to live, that, hey, you're the camera. You get to go where you want to go and see what you want to see and follow people you want to follow. But the enormity of it makes it tailor-made for TV, so they can go to the 18th. If there's a roar, even if it might be on a slight tape delay, they'll go and show you what the roar was about, so you have that instant feel of what happened. And I think that's just made golf. So TV, more so than anything, I think has really elevated the sport of golf into the national consciousness that, you know, hey, it's great to play it. It's okay to go watch it live, but man, there's nothing like sitting on a Sunday, you and I know, watching the back nine of the Masters or the U.S. Open or something, just camping out in front of your TV and looking at the graphics and everything else. And, I just think it's been it's been a real godsend for golf, to television, more so than almost any other sport I can think of.
I agree with you, Pat. I think television has changed so many sports, the way we view so many sports. I would almost argue, and it's still, there's still the novelty and there's still the excitement of being at a sporting event in person. But, you know, when you talk about knowing what's going on at the entire event, I mean, for golf specifically, there's 18 different holes. So there, if you go to the event, yes, there's a novelty to being there in person, but you miss out on having a complete understanding of what is going on in the entire tournament, what's going on in the back nine and the front nine and everything, what all the players are doing, a totality of it that you totally get by watching it on television. But I would argue that, you know, perhaps hockey is better to be at a game in person than watching it on television. But, you know, for me, for football, I would much rather watch a football game on television than be there in person, even though, you know, there still is the excitement of being there. Same thing for a baseball game. I'd much rather watch a baseball game on television. You get close-up views. You know, if you're in the nosebleed section of a football game, you have televised sports have really revolutionized both golf and football and hockey. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic as we broadcast live this morning from the Country Club of Miami here until 10 o'clock with you. David Allen and Gary Furman here on site. Herb Usy back at home base, and we are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Fourth and final topic, the PGA Tour has grouped up and partnered up with the First Tee, and the PGA Tour and their player Anthony Kim launching the First Tee Young Ambassadors Council, a new program to engage young touring professionals with participants of the First Tee. Anthony Kim, third-year pro and two-time PGA Tour winner, is the first player to partner with the First Tee for this program, and he will serve as this program's co-chair. Your thought, Pat?
I think it's great. I mean, anytime you can get a new group of kids, you know, younger people interested in your sport, that's going to be the lifeblood of your sport going forward. So you don't want to have a sport like boxing or something like that where, it's an older generation type sport. And as those older generations die, there's no one left to really take up the mantle to watch the sport or participate in it as it goes forward. So a sport like golf, you need young kids in it. It's a tough game. It takes a lot of self-discipline, and the younger you get them involved in it, and the more that they can realize, hey, I can do this. You know, there are some certain breaks you get in golf, bad breaks, good breaks, and learn how to deal with that at a younger age. I just think it's more enjoyable, and it helps you as you go along to want to keep playing the game. And it's a lifelong game, unlike a lot of other sports out there. You can play it forever, so I think it's a great thing to get kids involved earlier. And with a guy like Anthony Kim, who's, got the belt buckles and everything else, appeals to the kids, I think he's a great ambassador to be the first guy associated with it.
Absolutely. This is almost the PGA Tour following the Champions Tour's lead. And usually we don't see this kind of, sequence. Usually the PGA Tour sets the standard, and then the LPGA Tour, Champions Tour, Nationwide Tour follow suit. Champions Tour was really the first professional tour to link up with the First Tee. They've got their tournament each and every year, and it'll come up in a couple of weeks. I believe it's the first weekend of September at Pebble Beach. It's the First Tee Pebble Beach Open, and it's Champions Tour players. Each Champions Tour player hooked up with a First Tee player. Now the PGA Tour following suit, and the First Tee Young Ambassadors Council will formalize player involvement with First Tees in their hometowns at tournament sites, fundraisers, and other special events. Anthony Kim is a Dallas resident, and he recently visited the First Tee of Dallas, hosting a clinic for 38 participants on the driving range. So that's great news for the PGA Tour and for youth golf. And as we know, the golf starts with the grassroots, starts with the kids. That's how we'll grow the game. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. And that was another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it is brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.